Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more? Check out my podcast. Hi, I'm Kadra, the host of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. I tell tales every single week that have left me perplexed. You'll hear true crime cases, mysterious disappearances, learn about cults, hear baffling sightings of cryptids, chilling paranormal encounters, and even dark and weird history. I release new episodes every Wednesday, and you can listen anywhere podcasts are available. I'm also on Patreon, and you can even watch me on YouTube. Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. Stories that will leave you perplexed.
You are listening to Perplexity.
Human beings often describe having an inner monologue or an inner voice. This is both a powerful and enigmatic aspect of our human experience. Every day, we have this constant stream of thoughts, commentary, and emotional responses flowing through our conscious mind, which ultimately helps us in shaping our perceptions of reality and our sense of self. So for many people, this inner voice can become a companion. It can even take on different tones and personas, ranging from supportive to harsh and critical. The inner voice can also be a great source of strength and resilience. And according to some, it can be the sole reason you keep going in the most intense situations. It just might save your life. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I am your host, Kadra, and if you're new here, hello and welcome. I tell tales every week that have perplexed me, so if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place, and be sure to follow along. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. I'm so happy you're here. I have a great story today, and I have a wonderful guest that I am so excited to introduce. So today I have Sierra from the Twisted and Uncorked podcast.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. I cannot wait to hear this story.
I'm so excited to have you, and I had your co-host Alicia on a few weeks ago, so if Twisted and Uncorked sounds familiar, it's because I've had them on before. So Alicia got to accompany me for my St. Patrick's episode, and yeah, I'm super excited to have you.
Yay!
What did you think about the intro? Like, does it spark anything for you? Any ideas about what we could be talking about?
Not really. It's, it sounds extremely interesting. I actually just finished a book yesterday called Turtles All the Way Down. And it's about a girl, I think it's a movie now on HBO Max or Max or whatever it's called. Anyway, it's about a girl who has a mental health disorder, and the book goes back and forth between her talking and her inner monologue talk, and they're arguing with each other the whole time. So I'm already like, oh, I would love to know more about what this could have been.
Oh, you
know,
that's fascinating.
The obvious mental health disorder.
Yeah. Well, and like, it's interesting too, because sometimes I'll come across these TikToks where it's like, you don't have an inner monologue. And I don't have one, but my boyfriend does.
You don't?
I don't. So you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What is yours like?
Well, for a long time, I thought it was weird when people talk to themselves. And, you know, I'm like, why would you talk to yourself? That's so weird. That's so crazy. Because it was like in my head, like it would be things that normal people would talk to themselves about, except in my head. And I don't know, as I got older, I got more comfortable with it, I guess. And now I talk out loud to myself all the time, which is probably weird. But when I do it out loud, I don't hear it so much in my head. So it's kind of, I feel like it's just me talking to myself, like reminding myself of things or whatever.
I remember there was this hospital I worked at, and I became really good friends with a neuropsychologist. She was phenomenal. Her name was Dr. Alford. And she told me that it's actually like really normal and healthy to talk to yourself. And it's good to talk to yourself because it helps you like with anxiety, it helps you plan ahead and think about different scenarios. There's a lot of like benefits to it. So like I do talk to myself, but I don't hear like a separate voice in my head guiding me of what to do, if that makes sense. But my boyfriend does. So I've always thought it's really interesting. And I've heard that inner voices are more common with like ADHD, which he has. But this is a similar concept to that, to kind of that inner voice, or that's one of the theories at least. Trigger warning for today's episode. Today's episode may contain content that will be considered disturbing to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. And as always, all of the sources that were used for today's episode will be available down in the show notes. So I will introduce the actual topic in just a few minutes, but I have a story first that will help explain it. So I'm first going to tell you a story about a man named Sir Ernest Shackleton and his Imperial Transatlantic Expedition that he went on in the early 1900s. Sierra, I have sent you some pictures on Instagram, and I'll post these on the Instagram page for everybody listening as well. But there is a picture of Ernest in the photos. He has this fabulous middle part and the bushy eyebrows.
Wow.
Yeah, quite a hairdo. And there's some other pictures that'll go along with him in these photos, so I'll talk about that in a second. But basically, from 1914 to 1917, Sir Ernest Shackleton would attempt to make the first trek by land across Antarctica. While people had explored the icy continent before, no one had ever made this big of an endurance trek all the way across the land. So the plan was that him and 14 other men were going to sail to Weddell Sea, end up near Vassal Bay. And then once they got there, six of those men would be the ones to go on the actual transcontinental march with him under Shackleton to Ross Sea via the South Pole. And there is a picture of like the Antarctica map in those photos. Yeah. So that kind of just shows their route that they were going to take. The other big thing here is like, it was going to be such a long trip and they were going to do it on foot, I guess, to like, I don't know, prove something. I think they had snow dogs at some point, but you know, it had to be by foot and by snow dogs, and they couldn't really take a lot of supplies with them, but they were going to need it for this long of a trip. So they had these supplies depots and they were going to be laid out by this supporting group known as the Ross Sea Party. So basically, as they're taking this trek, they could stop at these different depots to kind of refuel, if you will, and then keep going. And according to legend, Shackleton, when he was getting his crew together, posted an ad in a London paper saying, "Men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in event of success." So I think he knew what he was getting into, like it was going to be really bad. But I don't think the men that went along with him necessarily knew how intense this was going to be. But it was an 1,800 mile or 2,900 kilometer trek to get to Ross Sea. And they had these two ships that were, my understanding is these two ships were going to help them initially just get out to Antarctica. And one of their ships, the Endurance, got trapped in the ice of Weddell Sea, which, looking at my map, that's like the opposite side of where they were supposed to be.
Oh, gosh.
And what would happen is the crushing weight of the Antarctic ice would cause the ship to wreck and sink. So the men were able to get out in time, but this left Shackleton and 27 other men stranded. And the loss of the ship would be absolutely devastating, because at this point, Shackleton had to kind of give up this idea of like setting a record and having this expedition. It was now about survival and making sure that him and his men weren't going to die or starve.
Yeah.
So really intense. And the way that the crew would survive is they had to create these makeshift camps over the course of months. So they were there for many months trying to figure out how to get rescued and how to get out, because it took them a long time to get over there. They were able to salvage some lifeboats together, and they floated to this island called Elephant Island, which is also in the pictures. It's in Weddell Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from there that Shackleton and two other men, Tom Crean and Frank Worsley, would make an 800-mile journey across mountain ranges and glaciers to a whaling station in Stromness Bay. And they were doing this to basically go get help. Like, they knew they had to trek across to, like, civilization and try to get men to come back and help them.
Mm.
So for more than a day, Tom, Frank, and Ernest trekked across the island of South Georgia. And against all odds, they would survive. Eventually, they would get to South Georgia in a small boat where they could order a rescue for the rest of Shackleton's party. So incredibly, all 27 men would survive. But
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty good numbers, yeah. Right?
For months?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I thought it was impressive, too. What was interesting is, like, you know, if you have an experience like this, your life is forever changed. And Shackleton would go on to write a book about all of this. It was published in 1919, and it's called South. So he describes this whole experience, and one of his most famous memories that he writes about is what we're going to be talking about today. So he writes about a companion that joined him and his men during the final leg of their expedition. So, you know, it was Tom, Frank, and Ernest. But the way Shackleton explains it in his book is that during this long and racking march of 36 hours over the unnamed mountains and glaciers of South Georgia, it seemed there were often four of us, not three. Shackleton described another tangible person, often trekking alongside them. Tom Crean and Frank Worsley would also largely credit their survival to this mysterious fourth traveler. It was a presence they all felt, which provided hope and direction. Worsley would say, quote, "There was indeed one thing about our crossing of South Georgia, a thing which I've never been able to explain. Whenever I reviewed the incidents of that march, I had the subconscious feeling there were four of us instead of three." In later years, other survivors would come forward with similar experiences all around the world. One study has actually found similar reports from other groups of adventurers, including climbers, solo sailors, and shipwreck survivors. In 1988, a mountain climber named Joe Simpson would write in his book, Touching the Void, about a voice he heard throughout his near-death experience, directing him to crawl back to base after suffering a severe leg injury. Other people would even be inspired to write about this concept, including T.S. Eliot in his poem, The Wasteland. And it's T.S. Eliot's poem that would become responsible for this being known as Third Man Factor. So that's what we're talking about today.
Yes, and I can't remember if it was on Reddit or maybe a TikTok or something, but I heard that the only reason I know about it is one story that I heard where this woman was, she says, you know, she's driving and she can see that she's about to wreck. She knows she's about to wreck. It's going to be a really bad wreck, but something happens where a completely third person, like not her, not anybody around her, came in and told her, you need to let go of the steering wheel, you need to relax your body, you need to do this, whatever. And she did those things and she survived. And this, whoever this person was, she said it was a man, helped her up out of the car and was like, stand right over here so no other car, you know, gets you. And then when the ambulance finally comes, she's like, where is that man? I want to thank him. And they're like, we're the first people here. No idea what you're talking about.
I just got goosebumps all over my body.
Crazy.
It's so crazy.
I never thought of it as like the voice in your head kind of thing. But yeah, that makes sense. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I mean, there's tons of theories too, but that's like one of the big ones. And I don't want to get into it too much, but it has to do with like our inner sense of self. So I have a little excerpt from T.S. Eliot's poem that I would like to read. And it, you know, explains how that third man factor name has become so well known. And like, that's what we call it now. So T.S. Eliot would write, "Who is the third who walks always beside you? When I count, there are only you and I together. But when I look ahead up the white road, there is always another one walking beside you, gliding, wrapped in a brown mantle and hooded. I do not know whether a man or woman, but who is that on the other side of you?" End quote. So some people call this third man syndrome, but it can be known as third man factor as well. And basically this refers to the strange phenomenon in which someone is provided comfort, support, and even advice from an unseen presence. This will often occur during traumatic or survival situations, but not always. Some people report having voices like this around them all the time. And it's not clear if that's like related to a mental health condition, kind of like in the book you were reading, or if it's like things like that are just more prevalent with a neurodivergent people. So it's really interesting, but it's often experienced by individuals rather than groups. So I thought it was really interesting that in Ernest Shackleton's story, all three men experienced it.
Right.
There's many theories to what this could be, kind of like I said earlier. We'll talk more about theories at the end. But I want to preface this first by just saying this episode is going to kind of be like a guardian angel slash third man factor concept, because a lot of the stories that, like, if you research third man factor, there's actually, it's actually really hard to find stories about it, because so many people, I guess, especially in the US, attribute it more to like, oh, my guardian angel. Right. But if you hear the descriptions, they're incredibly similar to each other. So there's some things I didn't include that seemed a little bit more angel and like, I saw a man with wings and this and this. But if it's like that voice and it's guiding you, like I included it in here. So the first time I ever learned about third man factor was when I listened to episode one of one of my favorite podcasts that I've talked about a million times on this show, Snap Judgments Spooked. And the very first episode, they share a story about a woman who went to a park and she was being stalked by this creepy guy. He was like carrying a rope around and he was trying to like find her. And so she ran and hid. And it seemed like this man wanted to harm her. So she talks about this voice that was giving her clear instructions, telling her exactly what to do. Hide here, don't move. Be quiet. Okay, now run. Oh, duck, hide under here. It was really, really creepy and interesting. And she said the voice was incredibly loud and commanding, which you'll hear in a lot of these stories. So, without further ado, let's get into some experiences. One of the first things I found was a Ranker.com article called 15 People Tell Eerie Stories from Guardian Angels Looking Out for Them. So I picked out two of these experiences, and it seems like these are from Reddit. You know how a lot of articles will share like Reddit stories? Because it says this is from Light Energy. So I think this is a Reddit user.
Right.
So Light Energy says, quote, "When I was in my 20s, I spent 4 years traveling the world. I was in South Africa, just outside Durban. And a friend had taken me on his motorcycle to his favorite waterfall. We'd both been swimming, but I got cold and went to sit on a patch of green grass. To get there, I had to step from the sand I was on over to a log and then across to a bed of grass. So they're kind of hopscotching across. I was walking at a medium speed and lifted one foot to step over the log when a very loud, booming, masculine voice shouted, "Stop!" Except the shout wasn't heard with my ears. It was inside my head. It's hard to explain. Also, there was nobody else around except my friend and I, and he was still happily swimming. I stopped, wondering what had just happened. I still had my foot in the air above the log. I looked around and spotted what I thought was a leaf, waving about 6 inches from my big toe. It took me a few seconds to realize that this was not a leaf, but a snake. It was a black mamba.
Oh my God.
Heck no. The black mamba had his head raised and was licking the air right by my toe. He was waiting to see what my next move would be, and he had seen me long before I saw him. I slowly backed up and walked very carefully backward to where Tim was. I have no explanation for the voice that I heard, except that it was so loud and was inside my head rather than heard with my ears. And it came at a time when I didn't feel any danger at all. In fact, I was very calm and happy. I feel it was my guardian angel who shouted at me to stop, as I would have stepped right on the snake. My guardian angel saved my life, end quote.
That is crazy. But also, it's very interesting that not only do these people hear the voices, but they do the thing exactly on time. Like, if I was running and my friend said to me, stop, I would probably put my foot down. Like, what are you talking about? Like, she stopped midair, or
right.
Today, stopped midair on command. So it's like, I don't know. It makes me think more like a character in a video game. Like, I just stopped you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I didn't even think about that, but it's kind of Matrix-y.
Yes.
Yeah. I was just listening to a episode on another podcast about glitches in the Matrix and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's always that theory about, like, there being, you know, because a lot of people who are religious are like, okay, there's a God or there's a higher power. But if you're more of like a glitch in the Matrix person, it's like, well, somebody is orchestrating this
right.
whole thing. So that's an interesting concept that you can think about and play with, is like, what if this orchestrator was like, hold on, this is not how this is supposed to go.
Right.
We have free will, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's like we have free will to a certain extent, and we have this destiny we're supposed to follow. So this voice is kind of interfering.
Yeah, it sounds more like a literal command than a warning. Like, wait, stop. No, it's like stop, and on command you stop, you know?
Yeah.
So weird. Okay.
That's a really good point. I love that. So the second story I picked out from this article is from two twirly girlies. So I think another Reddit story.
Okay.
So they say, quote, my sister had a similar experience. She was in a car wreck and her 70s grocery getter started flipping through the air. A voice loudly told her to lift her arms. She broke a bone in her hand, but she was told that doing that probably saved her life. Her hand took the brunt of the landing, and she did not fall on her head. End quote. So she was basically in this car wreck, and something was like, lift your arms up! And so when she did, it caused her to have much less severe injuries.
That's so crazy.
So there's another story I came across on a paranormal subreddit, and this is from Reddit user AspMeNot, A-S-P, and they write, this happened about 24 years ago, give or take. I was 19 or 20 at the time and home alone. My roommate was out on a date. So being a huge movie nerd, I love watching movies, especially horror, and decided to relax with a couple from my collection. Before I start, I decide to go around the corner to a 7-Eleven for snacks. As I'm putting on my shoes, I swear to God, and then they put in parentheses, I'm not religious at all. I hear a voice suggest I should go have a bath first. Baths are not uncommon for me because I like to relax and listen to music. So while I'm in there, my roommate gets home, banging on the bathroom door urgently, asking if I'm all right. I tell her I'm fine and ask what's wrong. She tells me the 7-Eleven was just robbed by a guy wielding a machete. Needless to say, I was more than a little freaked out, and if I didn't stop to have a bath, ... end quote.
See, once again, it's like, I don't know, if it was a real person that was like, you should have a bath first, I'd be like, eh, then I'm gonna have to get dressed to go back out. I'm just gonna go to the 7-Eleven real quick. But for some reason, they really did. They're like, yeah, I'm gonna do that.
I thought about that too.
They had no control over it.
I know. I thought about that too. I was like, I feel like I'm such a stubborn bitch that I don't know if
to this voice?
Yeah, if a random voice was like, go make toast instead of going to the store, I was like, I feel like I would be like, what? No. But if it's like a command or this part of our brain that kind of taps into that voice where it's like, okay, I will listen to you. Like, it's
you
just
literally
so
don't have a choice, it feels like. It's crazy.
It's wild. And I found, you know how sometimes you'll like find those stories on Reddit and then you go in the comments and you find other good stories too. There was like a short one like that. I'll just kind of summarize it. But they basically were explaining that they were diabetic and or they are diabetic. And there was this situation where their blood sugar got really low and they heard a voice right in their ear that gave them very specific instructions of what to do. So the voice was like yelling at them to go downstairs, go into the cabinet, get peanut butter, eat it immediately. No, have another bite, have another bite. And after about an hour, they started to recover. So really interesting. Hey everyone, I'm going to quickly interrupt this episode because I didn't want to forget to mention I was recently on another podcast. It was the One Nothing podcast, and me and Amanda are talking about the Nutty Putty Cave disaster. It was a harrowing and really, really interesting story. And with this episode being so much about near-death and traumatic experiences, I feel like it ties in really well and wanted to just announce that. So go check out One Nothing wherever you get your podcasts and hear me on their story of the Nutty Putty Cave disaster.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
So I have a few more encounters. I was trying to think about like pretty well-known traumatic things that have happened. And I started thinking about, because we always hear these really interesting stories from 9/11 survivors. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I wonder if there's anything like that. And I did find some. So one Tampa Bay area woman named Ann Coster was actually working on the 81st floor of Tower 1 on that fateful Tuesday morning, September 11th, 2001, when the first plane struck. And she would later tell Fox 13 News in a 2021 interview that she could remember everything that happened as if it had just happened yesterday, which is common with traumatic experiences.
Right.
And basically, after the plane struck her building, Anne and one of her coworkers, who is also a really good friend of hers, this woman named Susan Conlin, they, you know, you can't take an elevator down. They all had to do the stairs.
Right.
So, and they're up on the 81st floor. So they had to make the incredibly long trek down, which I cannot even imagine. And it's like fire and smoke. Like, it's
right.
Just
the building's
horrifying.
Probably rumbling.
Yeah. Absolutely horrifying. And they would get all the way down to the 41st floor when her friend Susan is like, I'm so tired. I have to stop and rest. And she's like short of breath. She can't go on anymore. And Anne insisted. She was like, Susan, we cannot stop. We have to keep going. But Susan said her legs are hurting. She couldn't breathe. She just could not keep going. And Anne persisted, but so did Susan. So eventually Anne had to leave Susan behind. And it would turn out that Susan Conlin would never make it out of the building, but Anne would. So Anne lost her shoes throughout this whole trek down. She broke her toes, but she kept going, I know. And when the news reporter would ask Anne what kept her going down those steps, she would say, quote, "There was an angel on my shoulder telling me in a strong voice, get out, get out, get out," end quote. So I thought that could be related.
Right.
There's also a writer, John Geiger, and he is in the pictures I sent you, along with his book. He's the author of that book, Third Man Factor, Surviving the Impossible, in those photos. So there's the book, and then John Geiger is the guy in the red coat that's standing outside. He wrote about all these different survival stories in his book, and one of them is from a 9/11 survivor as well, named Ron DeFrancesco. So I'll share two of John Geiger's stories. So the first one is about Ron. DeFrancesco was on the 84th floor of the South Tower when the second plane crashed into their building. He made several attempts to escape, but each time he was unsuccessful. He couldn't find an exit. When he was just about to accept his fate, he heard an unfamiliar voice urging him to get up. DeFrancesco would describe the voice as male, but that it did not belong to anyone around him. The voice addressed DeFrancesco by his first name and encouraged him, "Get up! Hey, you can do this!" He also had a vivid sense that there was a physical presence there with him, and he even felt the sensation, kind of like the story you told, of someone physically lifting him up off the ground, and he felt like this person or entity, whatever, was leading him to the stairwell. And with the help of this entity, DeFrancesco would make it out of the Twin Towers alive. And he was only one of four people that would end up escaping if they were above the 81st floor.
Wow.
And I thought it was interesting too, like, he said the voice was unfamiliar.
Yeah.
I feel like if it was your... Again, there's different theories and stuff, and it can be all kinds of things depending on what happens to you, but I feel like if it was an inner voice, it would be at least somewhat recognizable, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. I don't know. I guess if it was something that you heard all the time, yeah, you would think it would be recognizable because it's yours and you hear it all the time. But at the same time, now that I do podcasts, it's different. But a lot of people, when they hear their voice for the first time, they're like, "That's what I sound like." Like, they don't recognize their own voice. You know, I'm That's used true. To mine by now, but a lot of people don't know what they sound like.
So. Do you ever listen to like really old episodes of your podcast and you're like, "Why do I sound different? Like, that's so weird.
Why do I talk like that?"
Well, and sometimes I'm like, "Was it my microphone? Was it the room I'm in? Or does my voice change all the time and I don't realize it?" So weird. So the other story that I'm going to reference that John Geiger told in his book is another survival story. It comes from the Canadian Rockies near Alberta. And this man named James Savigny and his friend Richard Whitmire were ice climbing. So they're doing this little adventure together when an avalanche unexpectedly overtook them. And this avalanche was incredibly powerful. It forced them down the mountain nearly 2,000 feet. So Savigny would lose consciousness, and when he eventually came to, we're not sure how much time has passed, but when he woke up, he would find his friend Whitmire dead. So Savigny is obviously in this state of adrenaline and panic, and Savigny, his back was broken in two places. Oh, one of his arms was fractured. He had ribs fractured. Several ligaments in his knees were torn. He had broken several teeth, And he had internal bleeding as well. So it was incredibly devastating. So he's laying in this ice and snow. His friend is dead next to him. His back is broken, you know, so he's preparing to die when he felt the sudden presence of an invisible entity. While Whitmire could not see this presence, the being's message to him was clear, saying, "You can't give up. You have to try." It also gave him practical advice, like to follow the blood dripping from his nose as if it were an arrow pointing the way. The voice followed him all the way back to base camp, and when he arrived there, people came to his aid. So it helped him get all the way back, and what I thought was really interesting is, you know, as soon as he gets back, the voice is gone. And when the voice left, or this kind of presence left Whitmire, he said he was overcome with an incredible sense of loneliness. It's almost like an attachment, kind of, you know, like in those paranormal stories where you have this attachment and it leaves, or maybe this paranormal experience and you have these like mental health things after that where you're like incredibly lonely or depressed. Like I've heard ones like that before where it's like they get attached to this being and then they don't know what to do when they leave.
Yeah.
The writer John Geiger, author of Third Man Factor: Surviving the Impossible, claims that there are several scientific explanations for third man syndrome, including biochemical reactions to misfiring brain activity. But Geiger has also said a spiritual explanation is more likely. So, you know, there's always those scientific theories and the spiritual ones. So let's get into some perplexing theories as to what third man factor could be. One of the big theories is it's a guardian angel. It's this separate entity from you. It's paranormal. It's powerful.
It's God, basically.
It's God, yeah. Or kind of like the Matrix-y thing. It's some unknown powerful entity that oversees, and it's interceding in to help you. There's also the imaginary friend kind of theory, which made me think of like kind of a coping mechanism, like a trauma response that's triggered under extreme stress situations, or kind of that inner voice concept of like this voice that walks alongside me or is in my head. But I do think it's interesting how people describe it in kind slightly different ways. Like some people said the voice was in their head. Some people said it was next to them. Some said it was in their ear. There's also, I didn't know what this was, but one of the other big theories is something called bicameral mentality. I think I'm saying that right, but sorry if I'm not. And the incredibly watered down basis of this theory, because it's very complicated, is from Julian Jaynes. And the theory is like the human mind operates in a state in which like all of our cognitive functions are divided into this part of the brain that is responsible for speaking, and then the other part of the brain listens and obeys. So it's kind of like one side of the brain is telling the other one what to do. And in these kind of traumatic experiences, this bicameral mentality can kind of come out. Like maybe that side that listens and obeys kind of shuts down, and then the more like logical part is like, this is what we need to do to get out of this.
Yeah, that makes sense. Based on, I mean, how little we know about the brain, I can understand why that's a theory, you know?
yeah, it's interesting. And I know like there's different schools of thought on like, well, there's different parts of your brain that you can like tap into and unlock, and you know, kind of like when people have like astral projections or like these really intense meditative, almost trance-like states that they can put themselves into. So I wonder if it's like kind of something like that. There's also, you know, we've talked about like how the human body, some people believe we have a soul or like a higher level conscience. I feel like the most basic way to put this is like a gut instinct, like trusting your gut in different situations. I thought that could also be something interesting to throw in.
That's what I think.
You think? Okay, I like that. Yeah, I feel like if I had to pick something, I'm so torn. I feel like it could definitely be this part of our body that kind of comes out in these different situations to save mm-hmm. us. I feel like that makes sense too, because it seems like it's in, like a lot of these stories say it's like in their head or it's right in their ear. So it's kind of a part of them. But I think what bothers me about it, or also maybe it's just, it kind of scares me a little bit, is that we don't recognize the voice.
Yeah.
That scares me.
What the only thing that, I don't know if scares is the right word, but like makes me second guess it as well, is that women are tending to hear manly voices.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know if it's maybe like you hear the voice you need to hear. And I'm not saying that, you know, women will only listen to men. Maybe some of the men hear a woman's voice, like their mother's voice, like whatever voice you, because it's part of you, you feel like you need to hear at the moment to make you listen, maybe is the voice that you're gonna hear. So like you actually listen to it, a commanding voice.
Yeah, I, in all of the stories, if they did specify what it sounded like to them, it either just says a strong voice or it says a male voice. Mm-hmm. But I never heard any of them say like a woman voice. But
right.
I did add in the theories, it could be like a loved one or an ancestor. So kind of that paranormal aspect of like someone's watching over you, keeping you safe, but it's not a guardian angel. It's like my grandpa or
right.
You know, someone else. So John Geiger has said, if we understand that the third man factor is a part of us, the way that adrenaline is, then we can start to access it more easily. It's not a hallucination in the sense that hallucinations are disordering. It's a very helpful and orderly guide. So he seems to be in that same school of thought as you, Sierra, that it's like a spiritual part of us.
Right.
So any final thoughts before we start to close out?
One more. I gave it to my dad, so I don't have it. There's a book that it's called something about psychicness or something. Basically, in this book, it tells you that every human being has the ability to be quote-unquote psychic, you know? So instead of
being... I've heard that before.
So instead of like a god person above us, we're all one. Like, we're all connected. Each of us in the universe is connected in some way where our brains are able to communicate to each other if you try really hard enough. And that's why it's like this, it's like a psychic link to everything, to plants and animals and people and every living thing. And that's what I feel from this. I feel like it's your soul or your subconscious or something that's like, that knows it deep down in your brain, in the parts that we haven't even figured out what they do yet. It knows something bad is going to happen, and it's trying to protect you. You're trying to protect yourself without knowing you're doing it. That's what I think.
I love that. And I really want to read that book. So you'll have to tell me what it's called.
I'll have him send me a picture. I can't remember. Yes.
And if any of my listeners are interested, I can post that book in the Instagram pictures too, because that sounds like it would go along really well with this. So, I mean, no one knows for sure, of course, what causes this, but I do think it can bring about some comfort. I think John Geiger said it best, so I'm going to end this with a quote from him. It sort of hints at this idea that as humans, we are never truly alone, that we have this ability to call upon this resource when we need it the most in our lives, end quote. So that, everyone, is the perplexing concept of third man factor or third man syndrome.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
I just want to thank Sierra from Twisted and Uncorked. And I know Alicia's talked about it before, but for anyone who maybe didn't listen to the St. Patrick's episode, first of all, go back and listen to that. It was so fun. But Sierra, where can everybody listening find your podcast and how can they connect with y'all?
You can find Twisted and Uncorked wherever you are listening to this podcast right now. We also have a YouTube account, a TikTok page, Instagram, Facebook. I don't think we're on Twitter or X or whatever anymore. She might still be trying to keep it going, but like most people aren't there.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah.
I'm not on it, I'll tell you that.
I don't really post on the Facebook either. So what types of stories do you guys share on your podcast?
So anything that you would classify as a twisted topic is what we cover. We actually rotate through. We have a serial killer episode. We have disappeared, unsolved, murderless. So crimes where nobody gets hurt, but it's still like baffling that this crime took place. Cults, conspiracies, where we usually talk about aliens, and haunted, where sometimes we'll throw cryptids in there. But yeah. All kinds of stuff. It's so much fun. We also let listeners pick out a topic for us to cover once every 2 months or so.
Ah, I love that. Yeah. So for you guys that, you know, listen on here, if you haven't noticed, they cover pretty much all the same topics that I cover.
Right.
So I think you would really enjoy them. And Sierra and Alicia have become really, really close throughout this whole process together. And they have a really great dynamic with each other. I also just want to give Sierra a compliment. There is a story you covered a while back about Indigenous women, and I built a lot of respect for you and how you told that story and how you just gave voices to people that are often not given a voice to when it comes to true crime. And I think there's an ethical way to consume true crime, and I feel like you guys do it really well. So I just wanted to let you know, I heard that story like several months back and I was like, okay, Sierra, I see you. I respect you.
Thank you. Yeah, I try really hard. Sometimes we miss the mark, but if we miss the mark and people tell us, we will admit to it. That's not something we're scared of. But
for sure.
Yeah, we try really hard to make sure that the important people are the people who our story is about.
That's, yeah, I feel the same way. I think that's the main thing is like, we're trying really hard. We are human. There's definitely been things that I've covered incorrectly on the podcast, or I didn't word it in the best way. And that wasn't intentional, but it's like, we're always learning. And
right.
I think that like willingness to be wrong and learn and grow is like part of the journey. So,
yeah.
Well, if you guys, you know, enjoyed today's episode, you can continue to follow along. If you're watching on YouTube, I would love if you hit the subscribe button and like this video. Drop a comment too. If you've had an experience like this or you know somebody who has and they're willing to like let you share that story. I really, really like stories like this. You can leave a comment on Spotify too if you're listening there. And if you're on a podcast platform, show some love, leave a 5-star review. You can leave a 5-star review like this one that I got from Sammy_Joe4. She said, I love the research Kadra puts into this podcast and the stories that she tells. They're always so interesting. I also love that she takes listener input. Great storyteller with calming podcast voice. So I love getting reviews from you guys. I read them all. Would love that so much. And I found that's the only way, I'm sure you can attest to this, Sierra, it's the only way that our shows get put in front of other listeners.
Right.
So it seems small, and I know it's an extra thing to do, but it really does help us so much. So please go do that if you enjoyed. And if you really want to support, you can get on the Patreon. You can join the Perplexed Society. It's just $3 a month for exclusive bonus content. I just released my American Nightmare coverage that's on there. I talk about that case for over an hour. And I think Alicia mentioned, Sierra, you've covered that on your show before, right?
I did cover that case. Yes. I read, what's her name? I'm blanking. She wrote a book.
Denise Huskins?
Yes. Denise Huskins wrote a book. I read her book and covered it before that came out. And then when I saw it was coming, I was like, oh, I'm so excited for this.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to check that out. Yeah. That story is so harrowing and it made me so angry.
Yes.
And I talk about a very similar story that I came across and open up about that as well, and just kind of statistics of sexual assaults reporting and why it's so underreported. And this is like such a perfect example of that. So definitely go check that out. I've got side stories with podcast friends on there, crazy, creepy internet stories. If you want to support the show, there's a $1 support tier on there as well. And I always send letters and stickers to you guys, shout you out on the show. So go check that out. I think that's all my announcements, but you guys are amazing. Sierra, thank you again. It was so fun to talk about this with you.
Yes.
And I hope you all have a great week and you all stay safe. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brennan. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by going to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leaving a 5-star review. It helps the show more than you know. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. And if you have a story to share or a topic request, send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Kadra would love to read your story on the podcast. Until next week, stay curious. Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast, hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brennan. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by going to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leaving a 5-star review. It helps the show more than you know. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. And if you have a story to share or a topic request, send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Kadra would love to read your story on the podcast. Until next week, stay curious.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.